Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with 100-year-old Dr. Gilbert Stocks of Clovis, California, originally from St. Charles, Arkansas. He served in the Navy from 1942 to 1946, fulfilling a dream he'd carried since he was 3 years old, the dream of flying an airplane. When we left off, he recalled being asked for a preference and opting for patrol bombers as opposed to carrier-based aircraft.
There was no indication that it was going to get it. They just gave us a rather, but there's no assurance that that's what we was going to get. So I got ready for our final squadron. Well, that's what I got, was a patrol bomber. Well, that's great. That's the first time I'd ever been in one of those. In fact, the first time I think I'd ever seen one. The first one we had, in fact, I've got a yearbook that they put out. I don't know why they did that. That had the picture of one, and it was this big high wings way up here, you know, and real small fuselage and so forth. So we had the first two or three hours I had was in that trainer. So then I got over into the other one. Why, it was a lot different. We flew the PBY, they called it the Catalina, and I'm sure everybody in the world knows the Catalina because it was the best airplane built, and it had the best engines that are ever built. They had the Pratt & Whitney rotary engines, and they were good because when you got ready to take off, if you're taxiing around real slow on the water, you can't go too fast or you don't have any brakes, so you've got to slow that engine down. We could slow that Pratt & Whitney down where we could follow the prop around, you see. Well, the Army used the Wright engine. They called it Wright Cyclone engine. But you couldn't throttle it back like that because you do that, then the lower cylinders would load up, and then you added power to blow them off. Well, the Pratt & Whitney, you could be turning, you know, and then they had to take off. You shot it while it would take off, and it was the best engine ever built. We went to Jacksonville after I got through Pensacola. Our class, I think, had 12 people in it, and they were all ensigns except there was two JGs, myself and one other guy. All the rest of them, they really weren't quite up to, you know, like giving guys hot feet and stuff like that, you know. And so I was standing up one day and talking to the instructor, and I smelled shoe polish burning. So I says to myself, oh, some poor SOB is getting a hot foot. And about that time, my shoe got hotter. So they kind of put a stop to that. But then we decided it was going to go to take a navigation trip to Guantanamo Bay. So they divided the class up, I think, in about two, maybe three planes. And so we would each take turns flying. Big deal. I mean, why flying in the air? Or you're just sitting there holding the yoke, so it doesn't really matter. So we went down, and all we could do, talking about humidity, that was the most humid place I've ever been. All the officers' gold braids had turned green and everything, you know. So there was nothing to do except go to the PX. So that was just before Christmas. So, cigars are pretty cheap here. So I take my dad some. So I took him, I think, about 12 boxes. So coming back, and I had a gal, and I take a bottle of perfume, you know, and try to make points. So we was coming back, and so I opened a box of cigars, and everybody was smoking a cigar, and it went up my altitude, so you guess what it did to perfume? The change in the atmospheric pressure blew the stopper off, and you could smell perfume all over that airplane. Smoke was coming out the window. If anybody saw us, they wouldn't believe it, I tell you. So it was quite a deal. So from there, I wound up in Hutchinson, Kansas. That was a pretty good station. I mean, it was only there 3 months. But they gave us brand new B-24s to practice on. And in the meantime, the Navy had, and the government was building this, the privateer, see. So we heard what they did. They lengthened the flight deck about 6 feet, and they took the superchargers off of the engines because we never flew higher than 2,000 feet, so we didn't need superchargers. And they had 12 50 caliber machine guns on it, so we was pretty well loaded. So we heard that one was coming in there at Hutchinson. Oh, wow, we'll get a chance to see what we're going to fly. So privateer came in, pulled up and stopped. 3 or 4 guys jumped out with guns on, guarding the airplane. We wanted to get in. They wouldn't let us in. We figured, well, what in the world's going on? This is what we're going to fly. Here's a chance to check one out. You thought it was gold, well, they wouldn't let us close to it. Oh, that's the government for you. So anyway, after I finished that, then I got orders to go to San Diego. And then they put me out on Kearney Mesa. There was an airport out there. So we flew that, more training for the fleet. The last flight we were supposed to make was... we're going to fly from there to Hawaii. And this again shows you how stupid it was. So for a training flight, what we had to do, we flew halfway to Hawaii, then we turned around and flew halfway back. Well, we can fly that. How come we just couldn't just go all the way one time? I don't know. But we came back, we got back in the morning, and San Diego was locked in, fogged in completely. So I had to go in and work my way down through the fog on the radio beam. So I broke out, we were at about 100 feet, and there was the station right there where it should be. So I was heading in, and I saw a Ryan Fireball over on the side. I said, well, gee, this is... Now look, what's wrong with this propeller's not moving? They had put a jet engine in the tail end of the flybar to test it out. See, and I saw this thing going along, you know. You know, what's moving it? So finally it was that. So then from there, as I say, I got to Hawaii, and then from there I caught the match plane to Okinawa. And then about all I did while I was in Okinawa was just go out on flights. I called them white cap flights. So we just go along, and we didn't expect to see any submarines. And I was right, we didn't. Then we was getting ready to come back. We got orders to come back to Hawaii. So a truck come up one day from says, hey, we got a refrigerator for Squadron 123. Are you 123? Then we thought, hey, we're going to refrigerate. Yeah, we're 123. So it's okay. So they loaded off. Then we just get ready to go. So we kept, hurry up and get that strapped into Bombay before 123 finds out we got their refrigerator. So they did that, and we took off, and we got away. We stole their refrigerator, and we took that back to Hawaii with us. So it was... quite a deal. And in Hawaii, it was about the same thing, and it's just, you know, flights back and forth. So then I was getting ready to fly back, and there was a crew that had been in the dunk, so they was going to go back with me. So they had no luggage. All they had was just themselves, you see. So I was getting ready to fly back, and Tower was ready to late getting my orders. So pretty soon I see this Jeep coming, timing up and screeching, And this commander jumps out of the car. Where's the guy flying this airplane? And says, me. How come you're not in the air? Well, I don't have my orders. Oh, that's a lie. You should have already been in the air half an hour ago. I didn't get my order. Well, get in my Jeep, and he takes me over to the tower, and he comes in, and they tell him, well, no, he just proved to him that I was not lying to him. Okay, get back in the Jeep. So he goes back in the Jeep and says, okay. So then he calls the commander of the base, Admiral. He says, Admiral, I said, I got this lieutenant here. He's, bad-mouthing anything, Well, a lieutenant does not bad-mouth a commander. No way. So I'd like to hold him over to tomorrow night. And we found, well, the Admiral gave proof. He says, okay, now tomorrow night, where are these guys, where are the luggage? Well, they don't have any. Everybody's got luggage. So tomorrow, I told him, I says, hey, have some luggage. You ain't got nothing but a toothbrush. So we was held back a day. So he was a character. We flew back and then landed, and so I went into this room someplace in San Francisco. So I went in, the lieutenant, signed some papers, and I come out an unemployed civilian, and that's about it. So I went back to school, got my degree in optometry, and I practiced optometry until 1995 when I retired. And then I had something to do. My daughter signed me up for some oil paintings. So did that for over 25 years. So I have a whole house full of 5,000 and 10,000 exhibits of good painting,
One of those paintings was even featured in a calendar for the Central California Blood Center. You can see some examples of Dr. Stock's masterpieces at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. And we're not done yet. We heard how a refrigerator ended up in a Navy bomber, but how about a goat? And we heard where and how he saw the Navy's first jet aircraft, the Ryan FR Fireball. But where and how did he meet his wife, the mother of his five children? All five of whom, by the way, celebrated his 100th birthday with him this past week in Clovis, California. We'll hear the rest of Dr. Stock's story when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this.